السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيها الناس، ليس من شيء يقربكم إلى الجنة ويباعدكم من النار إلا قد أمرتكم به، وليس شيء يقربكم من النار ويباعدكم من الجنة إلا قد نهيتكم عنه، وإن الروح الأمين، وفي رواية وإن روح القدس نفس في روعي أن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها، فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب. صدق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذا منت رمضان علماء کرام، respected brothers, sisters of the madrasa, those listening who are receivers. In the month of Ramadan, for a number of days we discussed tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I mentioned that one thing that we seem to be really losing sight of is that Allah ta'ala is the provider of the rizq and sustenance. We truly believe that it is our effort that brings us the rizq and sustenance. And that is a big mistake that we make. Our effort is tadbir. In other words, we're living in a world of means, so we make use of some means to gain that sustenance, to gain that rizq. Allah Ta'ala has given different people different kinds of skills, different kinds of ND238628. You're blocking the downstairs driveway. 238628, please remove your car. It's slow speed. So tadbir and effort is a different thing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given or provides risk for people through different sources. Some get it through farming, some get it through some profession, some get it through business, some get it through flying the aeroplane as pilots, some get it through being captains of ships, some get it through being soldiers in the army, some get it through other means, different means. And therefore, I always say that if we have to ask a group of 2549, ND2549, if you have to ask 10,000 matriculants that if all of you have to get distinction, if all of you have to pass with flying colors, then what would you choose in life? What do you want to do next after that? So you will never end up with everyone telling you that they want to become doctors, or everyone saying I want to become an engineer, or everyone saying that I want to become a businessman. Different people will tell you different things. Different people will look in different directions. Some students will look in the direction of medicine, somebody in the direction of business, somebody in the direction of becoming a pilot, somebody something else. But you won't find all of them saying the same thing. Clearly indicating that there is a kind of an inspiration that is put into the hearts. Of course, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not inspire anybody with haram. You must not make that mistake. If a person's heart is being inclined towards taking up something that is haram, lots of them, they ask about certain kind of professions or certain kinds of business, which we know is not Islamically permissible. There are different kinds of businesses. Like some of them want to become specialists or masters in the field of calculating interest for banks. So now will we say Allah Ta'ala inspired the person with that? So that is not inspired by Allah Ta'ala. I'm talking about this provision of rizq that Allah Ta'ala has made. Now for the non-Muslims, for the people who don't believe in Islam, in Sharia, in Quran and Sunnah, now for them, if they get that kind of inspiration in their hearts, then it is different. It is from shaitan and he will take them in that direction. But for the Muslim, if he is being inspired in the wrong direction, he must believe that it is from shaitan. He mustn't say that I was inspired. You will be surprised. Some people really believe that they were inspired to do the wrong thing. So no doubt they were inspired, but by whom were they inspired? Were they inspired by Allah Ta'ala or by shaitan? So inspirations come of different kinds, but if that inspiration is not in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah teachings, then it is from shaitan. But here I'm talking about those people who are Muslims, who are believers, and they are inspired to become alim. Somebody is inspired to become mufti sahib, somebody qari sahib, somebody becomes a businessman, somebody wants to do engineering, somebody wants to do science, somebody wants to do something else. As long as it is within the parameters of Sharia and the person wants to earn halal livelihood, then it is permissible. So we will not say that, or we will say that all the people are not going to go in the same direction. Why does this happen? Because it is Allah Ta'ala's system. The whole universe has to function. If everyone becomes a doctor, then who's going to provide the bread, milk and butter? There has to be somebody to do that. There has to be somebody to construct buildings. There has to be somebody that knows electrical works. Somebody that knows engineering. So this is what happens. But the provision is from Allah Ta'ala. And that is the main point that I'm getting across. That unfortunately we believe that whatever effort we have made, then it is provision coming because of our hard work and effort. But if you have to analyze and have to go deep into it, even if a person worked very hard, it is definitely Allah Ta'ala's gift to him that he was able to work that hard. Who gave the intelligence? Who gave the sight, the hearing and the speech and everything else? So we were discussing for a number of days this tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And if those examples come again to mind, I will repeat, but I don't know in which direction I'm going to go. But this Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, in this Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, and it is reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, he states that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, what did he say? That there is nothing يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا قَدْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there is nothing which makes you close to Jannat, takes you close to Jannat and distances you from the fire of Jahannam, but that which I ordered you to do. There is nothing in this world which takes you close to Jannat, paradise, life of everlasting bliss and happiness, life in which there is going to be no pain, no suffering, no headache, no stomachache, no jealousy, no malice, no greed, no pride, no arrogance, no envy, no malice, no resentment, nothing, life of enjoyment, nothing else but enjoyment. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَرْبِ بَشَرْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرْ, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the thought also didn't strike anybody's mind. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that anything or everything that takes you close to Jannah and distances you from the fire of Jahannam, I have ordered you to do it. I have directed you, I have commanded you, I have taught you. By way of explanation, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole life was exactly that. That whatever the person did, naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. May Shaykh Hazrat Shah Ki Mohd Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakat, whom this beautiful share of his is written in so many different places in the masajid, in different masajid. Naqshe Qadam Nabi Ke Hai Jannat Ke Raaste. And there are dreams also about the acceptance of this share. The footprints of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the road to Jannat. And the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they connect you with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that anything that takes you to Jannat and distances you from the fire of hell, says I have commanded you, ordered you, showed you, directed you. And there is nothing which takes you close to the fire of Jahannam. There is nothing which takes you close to the fire of Jahannam and distances you from Jannat, but that I prevented you from it. If there's anything that takes you to the fire of Jahannam and distances you from Jannat, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I have prevented you from it. I have stopped you from it. I have ordered you not to engage in such kind of actions and deeds. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was loving, very compassionate, very merciful for his ummah. And not only ummah, but for the whole of mankind. And not only mankind, but even for the creatures and for the animals, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmat. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he must have loved his ummah, if he was a rahmat for the entire mankind, and even creatures, animals, for the whole universes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if there is anything that distances a person from Jannat, or anything that brings him close to the fire of hell and distances from Jannat, then he says that, I have stopped you from it. And thereafter that point which we are discussing, and that is about the yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam put this into my heart, that there is no living creature or living being on the surface of this earth. There's nothing that is living, which has got life, which will die this before it has completed its rizq and sustenance. Hatta tastakmila rizqaha. Until the person has not completed his rizq and sustenance, he will not die. Now that gives a very clear indication that this rizq and sustenance follows the person just like how his death follows him. The person's death and rizq move together. It's like parallel lines. They don't even follow behind. It's just a slight difference, that's all. Could be 1 second difference or a little bit of distance, but otherwise they are parallel. That means just as the person is moving in life, if you have to take, say, 2 aeroplanes flying together on either side, or railway lines, there's 2 lines, one on this side, one on that side, and 2 trains are moving together, or 2 birds flying together, anything where you picture 2 things moving together in the same direction. It is exactly like that, the person's death and his rizq and sustenance move. There's no way that the person will leave this world without that. That is again a different thing altogether, that the person will make some kind of an effort. So we will say that that effort, that is what was written, that he will make this effort and then he will get this. Or he is not going to make an effort, but he's going to get it through some hadiya or gift. Or he's not going to make an effort, he's going to get it through some inheritance. Somebody will die in his family and he'll get it through inheritance. But the thing is that if it's his rizq and sustenance, then it follows. The person does not leave this world. His last breath, therefore they say, and this I mentioned before too, that the person who is in sakrat, suddenly he starts breathing very, very fast. In fact, he can't keep pace. So it is mentioned that that fast breathing of his, fast pace breathing of his, is in reality the number of breaths that's left in his life. Until he does not even complete those breaths, he's not going to leave. So he must complete it. Many a times we have seen that the person is about to die, they say, bring some water. Now they'll put some zamzam water in his mouth, half the teaspoon of water went down his throat and half came out of his mouth. Because that's all there was for his rizq and taqdeer. So why should a person be hasty and go towards haram? This is the point that I'm laboring on. That why should a person be hasty and go towards haram? And especially those who want a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Those who want some kind of peace and tranquility in their lives. Those who want sukoon. Those who want Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat in their hearts. And all of us, we are desirous of that. So then why be so hasty? Therefore, immediately after that is mentioned what you hear many, many times in the khutbahs also, those who read that, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. In this talab of ours, in this seeking of our sustenance, what it really means is that we should not be too greedy. We should not become restless. We should not be chasing and racing like the people of this world. It should not be a madhouse out there and a mad race out there. If I open so many hours, then only I will get this sustenance. And why is that person next door selling this? And why is that person opening the same kind of shop in front of me? And the person is unconcerned, neither his namaz is made right, nothing right, as long as he's there in the business whole day, 7 days a week, 7 to 7. He thinks that that is the way he's going to get his rizq and sustenance. So then Allah Ta'ala gives it in that way. Make him tired, properly tired, and then give it to him. Exactly the same thing. But if he has that yaqeen that it is Allah Ta'ala who is the provider, and that hadith sharif which we have discussed for many days in the month of Ramadan, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if we have trust in him like that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say that if we had trust in him, in Allah Ta'ala, like how the birds have trust in him. Or if we have real tawakkul and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will provide for us like how he provides for the birds. That they leave the nest on an empty stomach. And when they return, their bellies are full. So what did that bird do? The only thing the bird did is left its nest and went out a little bit. Sometimes the food of the bird is right down by the tree. Sometimes it is a little distance. And sometimes it travels even further and picks up some grain somewhere else. But the fact is that it is Allah Ta'ala who has given that bird that much sustenance in its taqdeer, so it is going to get it. That's all a little movement. I think I mentioned that I was dealing with one estate where the father passed away. He was a doctor, he passed away. His wife also had given birth. It was still a baby, just a few months old, whatever it was. And this doctor, he had a big fortune, very big estate. Now this baby is still in the napkin. The baby is still in the napkin. Doesn't even know how to change its own napkin. But is already a millionaire. Now who made that baby a millionaire? The king's palace, who is going to inherit? Now who caused this prince to be born there to that particular king? And that woman, bichari, someone in some shack or some hut, the child is born there, and that child has not even anything to survive on, or very little food, nothing to really inherit. So all this is nahnu qasamna bainahum ma'ishatahum fil hayati dunya. So what is the need to rush and chase and make our life miserable in the process? And not only that, but then to go even towards haram. Therefore, in that same hadith sharif again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that if there is a delay in the rizq and sustenance, then the person must not go towards haram. Because whatever is by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person can only get it through the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. If you want halal, then Allah ta'ala will give it. But there is no need to lose hope and faith and trust in Allah ta'ala. Now that this incident came back to mind, I said whatever will come, we'll discuss. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, probably some of you were not here when we discussed it. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, not by way of any kind of objection or disbelief, na'uzu billah, which Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will have any doubt in Allah Ta'ala's will. But they wanted to see certain things. He was Kalimullah, he was speaking to Allah Ta'ala, and so therefore he asked, oh Allah, I want to know, like, how do you provide all these creatures of yours, and the whole universe, you are providing them rizq and sustenance. How do you provide for every creature of yours, every human being? Whatever you have created, if they need some kind of sustenance, you provide for them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this, or Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi. So he said, take your staff, your stick, and knock it on the rock. There was one rock. He said, take it and knock it on the rock. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam took that staff of his and knocked on the rock. So it split open. He said, knock it again, split even further. He said, knock it again. The third time, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam sees a tiny little ant with a very, very fresh little twig in its mouth, right in the center of the rock. And Allah Ta'ala gave Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam this ability to listen to the speech of that ant and the tasbih of that ant. Now again there, Allah Ta'ala gave Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam the ability to listen to all the creatures and animals and insects. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Ta'ala gave him that ability. On one occasion, the mosquitoes complained. The mosquitoes. They said that this wind and this breeze, when it blows strong, then it blows us away. So we brought this complaint against the mosquitoes. So the Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, we must have the plaintiff and the defendant. We can't decide without the plaintiff or the defendant. So you all are the plaintiffs now, so I have got to call the defendant. That is the wind. So when the wind came, it blew so far that it blew all the plaintiffs away. There was no plaintiff left. All the mosquitoes got blown away. So he said, well, this is your taqdeer now. But the lesson from there, Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives, is that when the fast breeze of zikr, tilawat, ibadat will come, then all these mosquitoes of shaitaniyat will disappear from the hearts of the people. At present, we got too many mosquitoes there. To blow it away, bring all the strong breeze of ibadah and taqwa. So we're talking about this ant now. So just as he was given that ability, Allah Ta'ala gave Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the ability at that time to listen to that ant now. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that camel came and complained. So many other incidents that are mentioned there. So who is it that gives us that ability to listen and understand? So if he gave it to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, why we must doubt? So that ant was saying, Subhana man yarani, Subhana man yarani. Glory be to that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who sees me. Right in the middle of this rock, right in the center of the rock. Wa yasma'u kalami, and he listens to my speech. And whatever I say to Allah ta'ala, he listens to it. Because we don't listen, but they have the tasbih of their own. Allah Ta'ala listens. وَيَعْرِفُ مَكَانِي, and he even knows my address. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need any kind of GPS system or whatever they call it. Then now you must find the route. And that too, after you have that too, you get lost most of the times. He says, Allah Ta'ala even knows my place of residence. How we say place of residence. Allah Ta'ala knows my place of residence. And then after that he says that, that ant is saying, Subhana man yarani, wa yasma'u kalami, wa ya'rifu makani, wa yazkuruni wa la yansani. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remembers me and doesn't forget me. We can forget to feed those birds of ours and pets of ours. Or the mother can sometimes even forget that the child was sleeping there in the baby cot. She got so busy in the kitchen, forgot about the baby. All that can happen. Allah Ta'ala does not forget. He says, he even knows that. So now how that rizq is sent down into the rock. And they say, how did that ant survive there? And how did it go into the rock? So people like us who have defects in our intelligence. So Allah Ta'ala gives examples in this world. That we have a guava, we have an apple, we have some fruit. leave it for a little while and let it rot. And after that, see inside, right in the middle of it, you'll find worms. Now, where did these live worms come? Right inside that guava. Those worms that are wriggling in the center of that guava, did we take it and inject it inside? But look at the risk Allah Ta'ala is providing to those worms. And they grew right inside, in the middle of their guava. Allah Ta'ala's qudrat and power is so strange. What is the need to go for haram? That is the message. So there must be jamal, there must be atidal, there must be a balance in our talab also. That risk we must seek, but it must not become a madhouse, as I say. By hook or by crook, cheating, deceiving, stealing, gambling, anyway, as long as we become rich. Halal, haram, sab kuch andar hai, mast kalandar. That mustn't be our story. Have yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is the provider of that risk. And if it is destined, the person will receive it. How many times we are eating things which grew far, far away, thousands of miles away, and we sit here and eat. Look at the fruit that comes from other parts of the world. And especially if you go to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif. From where does it come? Different parts of the world, and we are sitting there and eating. In Madina Sharif, a person brought some beautiful mango. He happened to be in the room next door to us, or two, three doors away, and he brought some beautiful mango. He was attending the program there. Asked him, where are you from? He said, from London. He says, this mango here, we got farms in India. Family farms. So whenever there's mango season, they send us boxes of mangoes to London. So now was mango season, so they sent us these beautiful mangoes to London. And we were planning to come for Umrah, so we brought some mangoes with us. And then we happened to attend your programs. So we just, I'm just telling him, I said, look, I told him, I said, look, where this mango grew, from where to where it went, and now it comes back to Madina Sharif. And we travel from South Africa, you come from that side, and we eat it here. While sitting in America, in Washington, now there that person put some fish on the dastarkhan. And then he said that this is a very beautiful fish that comes from Bangladesh. From Bangladesh, the fish came to America. And I traveled from here, and my risk was muqaddar there, so we eat it there. These are incidents which strengthen our iman. We don't even ponder over it and reflect over it. There are so many such kinds of incidents every day in our lives. There is some journey we don't want to undertake, but somehow we give in and we say, all right, I'll join you. Now where we end up in Cape Town, we end up in some other part of the world, and now there we get our risk and sustenance. So who is the provider of all this? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is the one who is providing. So then why this haste? So therefore, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Seek the sustenance, but let there be some kind of a'tidal. Let not greed overpower us. Because in the process, we are spoiling the lives of so many people. This program, after some time, it will go on some radio stations and they will go far and wide. So therefore, don't think we're just talking to you here. That let us not be greedy, because in the process, we spoil the lives of so many people. We destroy family lives of so many people. In our greed, 7 days a week, 7 to 7, how many families are split up? The wives are complaining, the children are complaining. They've got absolutely no time. But that person is in desperate need, so he's going to work. What is he going to do? So when is that yaqeen going to come into our hearts? How long are we going to just keep listening? There has to be that yaqeen that has to come. I don't know how many times I must have mentioned this incident, and I will repeat. Even if I have to repeat 100 times, but if it benefits somebody, and alhamdulillah, many people have benefited over the years, whenever I mention this incident, that we went once to Karachi. And there in Karachi, there was a friend of mine who had some chocolates with him, taken from here. And he was going to give it there to his aunt. We spoke about an aunt. Now we speak about an aunt. That was an ant, now you talk about auntie. A tiny little ant. So there at night some rat got in and nibbled from those chocolates. The next morning he discovered the rat had nibbled, so where is he going to now give to his aunt? So he said, throw it away now. But take lesson from it. He said, this chocolate, look at all the ingredients that made up this chocolate. Some farm in South Africa, the cows had green grass and produced white milk. And that milk went to the dairy and ended up at the chocolate factory. Then somewhere the sugar cane grew. And that sugar cane, look at all the processes that were involved before it was crushed and made into sugar cane. Then it went to the chocolate factory. Then look at the cocoa came from Brazil or some other part of the world and went there. Then look at all the packaging material. Then look at the trucks that were involved. Then look at everything else that before it landed at the manufacturer. From there it went to the retailer. You purchase the chocolate and then you buy one ticket. 6,000-7,000 rand ticket. And with great respect you take that chocolate now for the aunt. And now who eats it? Mr. and Mrs. Rat. So eaten by Mr. and Mrs. Rat. He said, if I told you in South Africa, please take some chocolate, South African chocolate, for the rats in Karachi, would you ever have taken? Look at Allah Ta'ala, that He keeps you in the dark. You don't even know who you're taking it for. That Allah who can provide for the rats of Karachi chocolates from South Africa, cannot He give us halal risk and sustenance in our own place? What is the need then to be greedy? Why steal? Why commit crime? And put one's izzat and respect also at stake. So this greed, that is the thing, greed. Otherwise risk and sustenance, Allah Ta'ala has got different ways of providing. And our aqal doesn't work when it comes to risk. Aqal doesn't work, intelligence. We can't really fathom exactly how it came, when it came, what brought us there. Sometimes a person doesn't know a person from the other person from anywhere. And he meets him on safar and journey, and somewhere that person takes out a sweet or chocolate or something, or shares his sandwich. Now how did that person get together with this person on the journey? Ponder over these things. These little incidents in a person's life are there to strengthen our iman. We have forgotten to reflect, therefore it is zikrullah. When the person is pondering over all these things, it is also zikrullah. Zikrullah is not only subhanallah and alhamdulillah. All these little incidents that take place in a person's life, to ponder, to reflect and to think of the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, what can be more zikrullah than that? There's nothing wrong, the person makes a little effort, he tries to make some progress. But to believe that it is all on the basis of my hard work and effort, you will never be able to really say exactly at which stage your life turned. And look at how many people, there were multi-millionaires. And I always say that go down to Delhi and you will see in the streets of Delhi, there are still people who are from the progeny of those Mughal rulers and emperors, who were at one time with palaces and forts and fortresses. And today they are begging on the streets. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. So therefore we should not lose faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala and rush towards that which is haram. And if anything is coming through those lottos and anything else, then just think it is nothing but pigs, as I've said many times. Totally haram, nothing else. There'll be no barakat in it. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah Ali was well known for his kashf and karamat. Well known. Even after he passed away, the grave of his, there was so much of fragrance, so much of khushbu coming out from the sand. People were taking the sand and going away. One person said, he also, a learned person, he says, also took some sand from there because the fragrance was so strong and so beautiful. So he said, wrapped it up in his handkerchief and put it in his pocket. But when he went home, then he realized that this is not the right thing to do, and being a learned person, to pick up sand from somebody's qabr and take it away is not right. So he said he took that sand back to that qabr and he put it back on the grave. But that handkerchief of his underwent so many washings, but he says, up till now there's fragrance in it. Now what fragrance is that? So he, there was one young person, he told him that, why don't you get married? Because that young person came, he was clean shaven, he was suited and booted, but now he changed his lifestyle, kept his beard, came neck. So he said, no, I am proposed to a certain girl from a certain place. And now they don't want to, or the date hasn't been fixed, but I want to get married. They are delaying. So he said, all right, come with me, I will take you. So when he went there, he said to those people, he said, right, we are here now, fix a date, time, make the nikah. He said, no, the girl is refusing to marry him. Why is she refusing? She's refusing because now he's got a beard. Now he's making 5 times namaz. Now he's got a different lifestyle. When he came to see me that time, he was a modern day youth in the fast lane. It was a rich family, very rich family. So they said, whatever it is, you should be happy that now at least you're getting somebody who's got some deen, so it is expected that he'll fulfill your rights. And that is what is expected when we look pious and righteous, when we are in this garb of piety, then we are expected to fulfill the rights. People look at us that way. They said, this person, if I have to give my daughter, then he will give her the best of time. She will be happy in his house because he's got deen in him, so they will fulfill her rights. And he will overlook her shortcomings and weaknesses. And the girl also looks at it in the same way. But when people with beards and kurtas and topis and namaz and hajj and umrahs and everything to their credit, when they start bashing their wives and when they start abusing or when they start womanizing or when they are in the cinemas and drugs and other kind of habits in secret life and outwardly they're looking pious, so then that brings about a great amount of problem. People run away far from deen and we become the means of that. They look at our life and that woman is going to complain to her parents or somebody. Then they will say, but we thought that the person was like this. So in any case, now they told this woman that this person got some deen, so you should be happy. She said, no, I'm not happy. So Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori Rahmatullah Ali, the great wali, said, come, let's go to the masjid and make some muraqabah. He went there, put his cloth around his head and made some inspiration came into his heart. He told this young person, let's get from here quickly, forget about her. Allah Ta'ala will give you a better girl in return. But this woman has been fed with plenty of haram. So they said, how can you say a thing like that? They said, well, you make the investigation. When they made the investigation, they found out that the father, the major part of his income was loaning money on interest. That was easy. She said, you see what he has fed the daughter, therefore now she is going in that direction. Afterwards he took him away, then he got him married to another girl, very pious, righteous. But what I am saying is that this is what happens at the end of the day, if you are going to bring all that kind of haram into the system, whether it is through lotto millions or whatever it may be. Let us not be greedy, let us not chase and race after that which is not with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I'm telling you this very deep-hearted pain because we are getting so much of incidents, so much of incidents. People go away, they leave the power of attorney, the whole property is transferred. Power of attorney, the person takes everything away. He exercises the power through the attorney and transfers everything on his name. People have kept behind that amanat and left for hajj or umrahs or some other trips. When they come back, there's nothing left there. What happened? There was a break-in. Everything stolen. And after some time, they find the person's own daughter or wife or somebody using that jewelry or the person going and selling it somewhere. Trust, they had trust. So what kind of times we are living in? Nothing wrong with the time. We have changed. Insan to badlega lakho magar Quran na badla jayega. So in these times, whilst on the one hand we have to be very sharp and alert, on the other hand we have to be very, very faithful, honest and trustworthy. And truly believe that if we are going to get through haram, then it is not going to bring any kind of barakat. So this Hadith Sharif, this is what it discusses. That don't rush towards anything that is haram if there is a delay. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi had mentioned that if a person through sin, he gets some kind of bounty of Allah Ta'ala, some kind of rizq, sustenance, money, gold, silver, whatever he gets. And he gets plentiful, then that is azab for him. Through sin, if he gets it, through masriyat, if he gets it, then that is azab for him. And on the other hand, if the person, through obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gets less, then that is rahmat for him. That's rahmat for him. Allah ta'ala knows in his wisdom what is good for the person. We are not going to give mashwara to Allah ta'ala that give us so much and give him so much and give that person so much. Allah ta'ala is going to decide. So it just came to mind that we discuss this again, that if we only can get this tawakkul and this kind of qana'at in our hearts and istighna, then Allah ta'ala will provide for us from sources unknown to us. We must go for taqwa. After that, Allah ta'ala will provide. Then we do whatever we have to do in the form of tadbir, adopting the means. Because Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi say that if a person thinks that tawakkul means that you do nothing, you just sit flat and expect everything to fall, then that person is a jahil. He has to do something. But it's not necessary that Allah ta'ala can only provide if we are going to work very hard. So bring some kind of i'tizar. Think of the other people also. Think of ourselves and think of others. Let us not be selfish. In trying to build our home, let us not destroy the home of others. In trying to enjoy luxuries and overseas travels and all kinds of good cars and other things, nothing wrong. If Allah Ta'ala provides, make use of it. But don't destroy or trample upon others because of it. I conclude on that example that I gave, that we were there in one of the parks, where the elephants, a lot of elephants there. Just near Port Elizabeth, one of the parks. And you find the whole troops of elephants going past every little while. So one whole troop went past. Big, big elephants, huge elephants. We just had to sit still in the car, they went past. Frightening to it is. What can man do? One elephant can, with his trunk, can just wrap up that car and throw it away. But in any case, after they went past, so as I said, I like to observe with Allah Ta'ala's fazal. So we got out, and I said, where did these elephants pass from? I said, just here, just near the car, just around there. And now look at the ground there. On the ground there, tiny little ants are still crawling. And where they got saved, in between the legs or feet of that elephant, that huge elephant, while it was trampling and going, now these little ants were in between. Now what is a tiny little ant for that foot of that elephant? When big, big cars and trucks and all can get trampled, and big, big size human beings can get trampled, are the tiny ants in between the legs of that elephant. They're still surviving. Now, who gave life to that elephant, to that ants? Why that ant didn't die? And why on the sides we do not know how many ants must have died? Because Allah Ta'ala has got a certain amount of risk still for that tiny ant. So it will survive until it has taken its last grain of rice or whatever it may be. So what are we losing hope in Allah Ta'ala? Let us build up our yaqeen. Let us become strong Muslims, full of iman, full of honesty, full of tawakkul, full of qanaat, full of istighna. Then see how Allah Ta'ala with His unlimited treasures, how He's going to provide. Unlimited treasures. How else can I put it across? I don't know. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah. Our risk and sustenance is in your hands, our life in your control. The ground on which we walk is in your control. The homes in which we live in your control. The heavens and the earth in your control. My beloved Allah, where can we understand your wisdom? Where can we understand your treasures? Where can we understand your qudrat? Where can we have your real ma'rifat? My beloved Allah, we are seeking from you. Give us the strength of iman in our hearts. Bless us with tawakkul and yaqeen in you. Bless us with such a bond with you, such a bond with you, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with your obedience, and the obedience of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. My beloved Allah, bless us with the rizq which is 100% halal. A rizq which is full of barakat. A rizq which will suffice for all our needs. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Saghira, kabira, amadan, khata'an, zahiri, batini, argunakum afu. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khata'kar. ہم گندے ہیں میرے مولا گندے ہیں لیکن تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں جیسے بھی ہے تیرے بندے ہیں if you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins where do we go the life that is gone the life that remains keep us steadfast on sirat mustaqim Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Make us your true and obedient servants. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, all parts of the world. My beloved Allah, ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with maut in Madina Tayyiba, with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, that you be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, all the corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fadl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulty, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the disease of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. And the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, with your fazl, with your kindness and ihsan, remove their pain, suffering, difficulty. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.